be looking at 1 Thessalonians 5 and Luke 12 today, and a few other scriptures. We're going to talk about being ready, watching, being ready, and occupying. It's a good word for where we are right now. In the timeline of the kingdom, this is a good word for us today. It will encourage us. And at the end of what this message is, we're supposed to take these words and comfort one another with these words and edify one another and build each other up. Amen? Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll start in verse 1. We're going to read 11 verses in this chapter, then we'll go over to Luke 12. How many of you know that when Jerusalem was built, and then with Nehemiah, it had to be rebuilt, right? And how do you remember how many gates that there were in the rebuilt city of Jerusalem? There were 10 gates. And one of the gates that they rebuilt was the muster gate. Now, Dave Henry and others that are military men here, you'll know what the word muster is. Muster the forces. So the idea of the muster gate was that specific function of that gate in the city, because there was the sheep gate. That's where the sheep were brought in for the sacrifices, the dung gate where the trash was taken out, the water. I mean, so the muster gate had a unique purpose, and that was where all the military would show up for inspection. They would muster the forces, and they would come in uniform and for inspection to make sure they were ready. And I believe that the Lord is mustering his church in this hour. Psalm 110 says, in the day when the Lord is raising his army, your people will be willing volunteers. Now, if you're not at the muster gate when you've been assigned, been given the call by the commander to show up, what's that called when you don't show up? AWOL. You know, you don't want to be AWOL with the Lord Jesus. He always knows where you are. You can't get away. I mean, Jonah, in his foolishness, you know, was going to, you know, he tried to get to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. But God knew where he was and God prepared the storm and the fish. And there's no getting out of that, okay? So it's good just to show up where you're supposed to show up, be what we're supposed to be for this hour. Amen? But we know that we've been told there will be a great falling away before the return of the Lord. We understand Matthew 24:12. Jesus said that because he's talking about the end times in Matthew 24. He says, because of iniquity abounding, the love of most will grow cold. And one of the things that were in the letters to the seven churches, those letters to the seven churches, five of the seven got major rebukes. I think only two did not get rebuked. But he said, whom I love, I chasten. And I want you to repent. I want you to be ready. Get your heart ready. Get all that cold love out. Get that lukewarmness out. We're saints. We're the excellent ones, it says in Psalm 16:3. We are God's body in this earth. And we have to be fitly framed together in our place. So this message, hopefully, is a call to the muster gate. And that we, if we're not ready, if our boots aren't polished and our swords sharpened and we don't know where we can find all the armor, let's get this time right now. But I'm believing that you'll take these words and they'll be stirred to where you will get yourself in even a greater ready for battle mode. Amen? And so let this be encouraging today. So starting in Thessalonians 5:1, I want to read these 11 verses, talk about just a few of the things here, and then we'll move over to Luke 12. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly, everybody say perfectly, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Do we all know that? Now, you know, I mean, I'm one of these guys. I'm following every astronomical event in the heavens. I mean, I followed the blood moons. I'm following the star of Bethlehem, recently reappeared a couple years ago. And something just happened six weeks ago, that hadn't happened since, the birth of Jesus. I mean, whether or not we got it all figured out, and maybe those are not actually the signs that the Bible's talking about, but when they look like they could be the signs, it ought to get your attention, right? You shouldn't blow off these things and say, no way. I mean, we ought to be stirred to some kind of investigation. If we're wrong, we're wrong. But if we're right, guys, I'm hearing, in Ben-Hur, the original Ben-Hur, ramming speed. How many of you in the Spirit, you're hearing something more than just same old, same old? How many of you are hearing there's an uptick? There's a speed up, an urgency. There's something more. Pastor, that sounds like work. Yeah. But Paul said, I worked harder than them all, yet not I. But the grace of God that was with me did that work. Guys, the biggest, greatest revelation you ever have is the body is made up of a head and a body. And they co-labor together. And guys, I don't know why I was thinking this today. I know why, because Earl and Diane, God brought them together to co-labor in Thailand. And I started thinking about my days on the farm. Jerry, you grew up on a flower farm, basically, or in agriculture. And we know how hard it is when you're in the field by yourself. That field, if it's an acre field and you're by yourself, it's 1,000 acres. But when you got somebody picking tomatoes with you, like what we had the largest tomato farm in Indiana. In Indiana, it was about 6 plants, but we had 24,000 tomato plants. And at the time, that was the largest back in the 70s. I hated that tomato farm. Just picking tomatoes 12 hours a day. I mean, just horrible picking tomatoes. And many times, one time I got to tell you this, we had so many tomatoes that came ripe at the same time, we had to go get people to work. So we went to the highways and hedges in the local high school, and Mark and I got 16 of our high school friends to pick tomatoes. Only one friend lasted to the end of the day. We were paying them $1 a bucket or something like that, whatever it was, and they couldn't hang. It was just one friend said, here, he gave me the money back. He said... But now the next day we're out there, just Mark and I and Pete and Mike, the four store brothers that were there. And that was hard. But man, we were so encouraged the day before. We had the whole high school class out picking tomatoes. We're going to get this done. And, I'm just saying it's a great revelation that we have, that we get a co-labor together. We get to work together. And this day, going back again to verse 2. You know, and I know that we're in the last days. How many of you know that? I mean, we really know that. And if we're wrong, okay, we're wrong. But you know what? I'm not going to live like I got 1 billion years and it really doesn't matter right now. I sense an urgency. And if I'm wrong on my urgency, so what? I just worked a little harder, brought a little more fruit in, brought more glory to God. Because I had a mentality, oh my gosh, He's coming, and we got to get this. The night comes when no man can work. We've got daylight hours. Let's work. Let's stir ourselves to work. Because we know perfectly well what time it is. The aspect that is brought of this time that we're reading in verse 2 is the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Now, how could He do that when all these signs are predicted? Honestly, is it really possible for, with all the signs that He told us would be around, that we could ever be deceived to be comfortable? And like in the day of Noah, it says that they did not know until the day the flood came and swept them away. To the very day that it started to pour, they had no clue. How is it that the church could still be in a casual walk mode? Guys, I love my days with Amy of going to the beach. Amy, you'd be homeless if you could live at the beach where we go in Carlsbad. She'd give up her home if she could be at that beach, that particular spot, watching the sunset. Everything is right with the world. You see that sun come down. We're leaning on that bar, that fence, drinking a little coffee. We live in California. You know, I mean, this is the thoughts that you all do. I mean, what we're doing, you're doing the same thing, and you're leaning over that fence, looking at the beauty of what we have. But you know what? It's just not responsible to live every morning, noon, and night leaning on a fence, sipping coffee, enjoying the blessing of our life. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision awaiting the verdict of their doom. Their doom. They're waiting. Unless you and I jump in that pit on a snowy day, they're going to get eaten by the lion that's in that pit. And you and I are the deliverers, the saviors. Obadiah 1:21, on Mount Zion, that is the church, are many saviors. That's you and me, because Jesus, the Savior, is in you and me. And He now has saviors that went to Thailand. He has saviors in Jerry Wimba that spent years in Indonesia. I mean, we're going to Uganda in 3 weeks for 2 days. And then Artie's going to Cape Town, and Todd, you're going with Art to, you're going to be preaching in the caves in Cairo. How cool is that? Dorothy's going, I believe. Is that confirmed yet? Still up in the air? We're working on her. I got to have somebody to fly back with. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Now, you know, all you ladies that have been pregnant, you know any minute you're going to go into labor. Did any of you ladies contemplate right before, I mean, your first time being pregnant, what that was going to feel like? Did any of you guys think about the pain? Like, when I go into labor, that doesn't sound like peace. Labor is work. Is it going to hurt? I mean, honestly, how many of you go in and you get a shot and you see the needle and she's flexing her muscles, or, you know, Jim over there. Jim, could you stand up for a second? Look how this is a mountain of a man and a little needle. I had the Three Stooges shoot me 32 times, or 36 times. We'll have Todd cut this out of the message. But guys, we all know, we see those things. That's going to hurt. I wonder if that's going to hurt. Ladies, I bet you actually thought, is this going to hurt? Could this be painful? You know, it says right here, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, bang, when it hits, it's there. It's not going to go away till that baby is born. And you know what's on at that moment. And it tells us in this that this sudden destruction is going to hit people at a moment. And then look at the rest of that verse. And they shall not escape. You know, God is love, and Jesus is the grace of God manifested for us. But there's a fearfulness if we do not seize the moment and the day of salvation. You know, Jesus wept over Jerusalem up on a hill, and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have known this day of salvation that was provided for you, would not have done what you did with me. And Jesus wept because they missed the day of visitation. We cannot miss our day of visitation. Everybody say opportunity. We have an opportunity right now to be the greatest body of Christ that has ever been on the earth. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. And when I think about Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip, and all the disciples, and Paul, and Silas, and Barnabas, and Priscilla, and Aquila, and Apollos, I mean, we get caught up in all that. And what great saints. But they're men and women exactly like you. And Barnabas had to make that decision to leave the wealth that he had. Church legend has it that he was the one who presented the land. And early in Acts, he sold a piece of property and presented. And what does Barnabas end up doing? Well, he sold his property and was signed up for the mission field and went with Paul into the mission field. What an exciting thing this is to seize an opportunity. Here am I. You hear the Lord say, you know, whom shall we send and who will go for us? And you have the opportunity to say, here am I, send me. But we have to respond. You have to make the decision to clear out some stuff. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. I tell you, we're not going to be at the river. We're not going to be out of place. We're not going to be in a place where we're not ready. We are going to be ready. Amen? And if we have to preach another 15 minutes on Sunday morning longer than what, you know, is comfortable, we'll do it. Right, Amy? I don't want to get distracted on that thought, but I really want to. I want to pound that out of the body of Christ, that we would choose our churches based on how long the service is. That we would just get rid of that immaturity, that childishness. That we would leave that kind of stuff. That we are being fitly framed, and it pleases God to set us in the body exactly where He wants us. Are you encouraged? Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. I am so glad that God brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light that I should show forth now His praises. You do not want to be of the night. That's the vampire side of this world. The world is exactly like a vampire, bloodsuckers. I mean, they live for themselves and they're selfish. And you and I were once part of that. But by the mercy and the grace of the Lord, we've been delivered from Satan, sin, and self, and made the body of Christ. Sacrifice and offer you're not, but a body you have prepared me. Lo, I go in the volume of the book as is written of me. I go to do thy will, O God. That ought to be your anthem. That ought to be my anthem. That we have this incredible opportunity to take Jesus into the battle. The Levites carried the ark. If the ark was going to go anywhere, men had to carry that ark on their shoulders. That's a picture of us. That we carry God into the fight. We carry God into the battle. God had a body prepared for the Lord Jesus when He was manifest. The Word was made flesh. And Jesus brought the love of God manifest. The glory of God manifest to the earth. And now He went to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back to us that we might be filled with Him. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, that we would go to and do the same works that He did. Yes. But it's our opportunity. Are we going to seize it or are we going to miss it? And I just would like to say thank you right now. I'm a son of the light. I'm a son of the day. I've been delivered from the night and I've been delivered from darkness. Could you lift your hands and thank God with me right now that we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God now in the earth. We are His brightness in the earth. We are the light and the salt in the earth. I'm so thankful today. I mean that. I'm so thankful today. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We could preach the rest of the service on this verse right here. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Can you, any of you tell me the exact minute that you fell asleep last night? When did it happen?
10:57.
I don't believe you. The only way that would happen is Amy Colcocked you and knocked you out at 10:57. Because see, it could have been 10:56 or 10:58. Because you don't know, when you go into it, sleep, it comes upon you. And it overtakes you. And no one is aware of exactly the moment that you fell asleep. And the thing about sleep, you can fall asleep in the funniest places. You can fall asleep in the weirdest places. And you know what? I mean, I'm on Southwest Airlines back in 1982. I was just out of college. I was flying to West Texas a lot, working with Exxon on audits. You know, and so every Friday night, you know, we'd fly back to Houston. You know, Monday morning we'd fly out, Friday night come back. And I remember this particular flight. I am sitting, I'm a single guy, and I'm sitting next to this really attractive young girl about my age. And in a moment, I don't know how it happened, I fell asleep. I just was so exhausted, I fell asleep. And I had my head turned this way. She's sitting right here. And I wake up drooling, so completely drooling. One of the most, I still remember the embarrassment that I felt that when I woke up, I was drooling all over myself. And that's just a little bit of embarrassment. Okay? But the scriptures here, we're going to hear the words of Jesus here in a second. If you're not careful to be awake and watch and keep your clothes on, then you will be ashamed that your nakedness will be exposed to everyone. I mean, that is a good word today. Because a lot of the church, they're real careless about their clothing, their spiritual clothing, real careless. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Well, so I was thinking, you can sleep even in a room of people that are awake. In Acts 20, you got Eutychus, who literally falls asleep in a meeting where the Apostle Paul is preaching his last message to the people of Ephesus. And he preached long. It tells you in that passage that he preached long. Sometimes you just got to hear more than what normally could fit into 45 minutes. Paul's never going to see these people again. And he is unloading. He got the Pauline revelation directly from Jesus. What we call the new creation realities. The majority of them that we preach came from Paul. And Paul said he wasn't taught this. Jesus himself personally taught him the Pauline revelation, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. I mean, really amazing. And now he's giving to the Ephesians this message of the new creation firsthand. You would think, and it says, and many lights are in the upper room. Many lights are in the room, torches. And those represent Christians that are awake and on fire. And they're pressing, it says they were pressing in near Paul. But where was Eutychus? Do you remember where he took his seat in the room? In the windowsill. And we talked about this a lot. What is a windowsill? Something that's half in and half out. And if that's where you take your seat, which direction did he fall when he fell asleep? He fell out the window. Was it a second story or a third story window? To his death. No, Paul went down and raised him from the dead. But the point is, Eutychus, whose name can be translated, be ready. I think that's pretty cool. He learned his lesson, be ready. But he fell out and not in. A lot of times, spiritual sleep, you're going to fall in a bad place. Keep yourself awake. How many of you have done all kinds of funny things to stay awake when you're driving? One night I'd left Amy and the kids in Palm Desert with her parents many years ago. I left their house in Palm Desert about 10:30 or 11 at night, driving a couple hours. I am so tired. I stop and I get, the 124 ounce, and I'm drinking and I got that's not working. So I found a dance station. I didn't know this, but those songs last 30 minutes. And they don't do anything other than boom, 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 boom. So, now I'm driving down sipping. I turned it up, honey, as loud as I could get the music. I got that bass, my speaker, I mean, everything. I'm going down the road. Then I have to roll down the window, and I put my head out the window, driving with this dance music, sipping. There was another time I'm driving back from Dallas. Had been in a racquetball tournament for, I think, 8 hours total of playing that day. And got beat, so I'm coming home. And my twin brother is with me. We're both so tired, we can't. And I'm driving, and I absolutely, you've been hearing a lot about clowns lately. The car is coming at me. I had began to go into such a state of sleep that the cars looked like clowns, and they were talking to me as they were going by. How many of you think I was 1 second from dying? Somehow, by the mercy of God, God got me. I said, Mark, you got to drive. And we pull over. He drives for 5 minutes and says, Matt, you got to drive. We all have our sleepy stories, don't we? How many are just so you got to hold your eyelids open? The devil is going to work overtime to see that you fall asleep and that you're not ready for your opportunity and for the return of the Lord. That's why you got to shake yourself. You can't allow any cold love. You can't allow an offense. You can't allow one excuse, legitimate excuse either. Most excuses are just that, it's an excuse. But sometimes it is a legitimate excuse. You got to make sure spiritually you shake that thing off, that you do not cut yourself one little bit of slack and say, I'm just going to harbor this, or I'm going to just do that. It will shut your faith down, which we come to the next verse. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. We're not of the night anymore. We're in the day. You know, you get drunk at night. You sleep at night. But in the day, that's not part of your life. But let us who are of the day be sober, be serious, be alert. That's what that means. Be alert. Everybody say, be alert. Look at your neighbor. Look at their eyes. Are they open? Look at your neighbor's eyes. Are your eyes open? Be alert. Putting on. Now look what it says here. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And the helmet, the hope of salvation. So the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10 says, are not natural, carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so when you read here, anywhere in the New Testament, you read about a breastplate, you've got to understand that that's talking about being ready for war or battle. You've got to understand that right now when Paul said the breastplate, that's the armor of God. And so the armor of God for you and me is strong faith and strong love. Because when I meet a person with strong faith and strong love, and they got hope in their on their head, the helmet of salvation, or this helmet, the helmet of hope of salvation. When you have those three things strong in your life, you are a giant killer. You don't flee you position yourself in the middle of the field and you defend it. But when you find a believer that's like oil, they haven't got much faith in their life. The engine's going to blow, guys. Your walk is going to fall apart. And love. Faith works by love. So Paul says, some of this armor, you just got to make sure that your faith is healthy and strong. And so in this last times, I mean, if Jesus is coming back soon, how many believe he's coming back soon? But if you're wrong, it doesn't really matter at all, right? You know, it's one of the best words I've ever heard. Plan as if he's coming back in 100 years, but live like he's coming back today. Two sides of the same coin. I mean, Jesus, actually that word is Luke 19. Jesus said, occupy till I come. That word occupy is do business. Or it's another military term. It literally means hunker down and you take ground. You occupy ground. You get this mentality. You bend your head forward. You put your excuses behind you, your past behind you, all the reasons why, I can't. You bow you lean forward and you dig in and you pull and you push and you scratch and you and every step you say, Christ in me. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. That was what St. Patrick prayed every day. It's called the prayer of St. Patrick. That we do not give any ground up. The end time church does not give up ground. And you know what? I know that, I mean, there's all kinds of outcomes that's going to happen politically in this country. But if the church doesn't do what I'm saying right now, it's all going to still be for naught. If the church does not intercede and pray and get an earnestness and a seriousness that these are opportunities that I have to seize. I can't be half in and half out. The breastplate of faith and love. Well, you know, Jesus said the love of many are going to grow cold. Did Jesus say the love of many? And in the Greek, it's the word most. Jesus said the love of most. Look around the room. How many of us at the river are going to be on fire in love, passion for Jesus? Because I believe these messages are important. And I know that you are receiving it today. So we're going to be ready at the river. But we can put ourselves in a place half in and half out. Now, you know, God is blessing the river. We're going to be building a new event venue outside. It's, in 2 weeks, we're going to be presenting to Pentecostal Church of God, our organization, the vision of what we're going to do. We're going to ask for a loan of $400,000 for the venue, okay? In 2 weeks when I get back, Amy will be preaching next week. I'm preaching in another church next Sunday. But in the following Sunday, we're going to present to the congregation what we're doing. And it's going to be an incredible blessing. But if I, you know, didn't believe that we were having such an urgent time, that God was wanting to do something special. Out of this little church, God could do something amazing. Because this little church has men and women like Benjamin who can sling a stone and split a hair, and they're ambidextrous in the Word of God. They can use the Word with either hand. This little church has men and women that know that there is a cause like David did. Do you know that when we build that thing out there, and it's only going to take 3 months to build, we'll have a seating, believe it or not, and don't try to figure out the parking, of about 1,600 people. Do you know that there's not a Spirit-filled church that could handle 1,600 people? I don't think. What I'm saying, and I'm not wanting to get distracted, I'm wanting you to know that God could be up to something with us as the river, but in unity with all the churches in North County, that we could be working together to do something phenomenal for the kingdom of God. Lift your hand. I'm telling you, it's going to come to pass. Lift your hands. Let's thank God that we are alert. We are in position. We're not asleep. The breastplate of faith and love are on. Check your faith level. Are you believing God? Disappointments. How many of you have some disappointments that have damaged your faith? Come on, you guys, think about it. When Karen went to heaven, when Al went to heaven, disappointments. We have to put those disappointments, give them to Him. And say, Jesus, I am immensely disappointed. Beyond that, I'm crushed. But by Your grace, fill me again. Samuel told David, when Saul, that disappointment with Saul happened, God came to Samuel. And He said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go. He's reeling from the loss of Saul, the first king of Israel that Samuel anointed and had great expectation, and then he failed so miserably. And he's sitting in a pity party, this prophet of God, when the Spirit of God speaks to him in his pity party, and he says, Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go. You have to anoint the next king. Guys, no matter what your disappointments, don't let your faith be feeble. You be strong in faith. Be strong in courage. Be of good courage. Don't be dismayed by anything you see. Let us be strong at the river, strong in our faith, that we're not putting the Word of God aside because we didn't see this happen on our timetable. Or we do have these frustrations and these reasons. Like, I'm just confused. I met with a guy yesterday who for 30 minutes told me how confused he was and frustrated. And I said, over what? Over the gospel. And I told him, how many times in your life have you seen and you know the fact of God's faithfulness to you and His love for you? I said, do you think you've had 300 or 400 of those? He said, more. I said, so you're going to let one uncertainty about the gospel, a certain thing about the gospel, cause all that you know about God, cause you to doubt God? That's a lie. That's a deception coming from hell. I said, if we knew each other for over a period of 30 years and I kept my word to you every time and I give you a word that you don't understand, are you going to say, well, Matt's just a flake. He doesn't keep his word. When we have 30 years of history of me keeping my word, God is going to keep His word. There will be a glorious church. There will be a body of Christ that will do the greater things that Jesus said. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. But if that's going to be the case, the glory of the latter house can't have saints in it that don't know where their faith is. And love. The last church is a church of love. And love is manifest by what it does, not by what it says. So in the last glory of the last church, we're going to have missionaries every which way going out. We're going to have men and women of God going into the streets. We're going to have people that love the Lord unto death. A love that will give it all. Is your breastplate on today? Is your breastplate faith and love? If you were to immediately, if you were to be tested on the quality of your faith and the quality of your love, where are you? Lift your hands and let's ask God to bring us back to 100%. Lord, I want you to, what do they call it when you, gasoline, you fill the tank, you do what? You top it off? Is that the phrase? Lord, I'm asking right now, no empty tanks. No quarter filled tanks. Top off the tanks. Lord, right now, top off the tanks in here. Let us, Father, be totally filled with faith and love, and that we'd have so much hope, the eternal optimist, much more than that, a helmet of hope of salvation, that no matter what place we're in, we always have the hope of salvation. Thank you, Lord. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the plan of God to be saved, you guys. For you and me to be saved. It is God's plan to obtain salvation, body, soul, and spirit, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Everybody say, who died for us. Now, that's a redeeming death, who died for us. That phrase implies that we're supposed to, when we read verse 10, who died for us, you're supposed to pause at that phrase and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to remind you, and you stir up, Holy Spirit, help me to realize Jesus redeemed me. Jesus died for me a redeeming death, an atoning death. That whether we wake or whether we sleep, we shall live together with Him. Now, this is good words today, guys. We're going to live together with Jesus. The lover of our soul, we're going to live with Him forever. We're going to be with each other forever. If we went one chapter back, it would tell us the rapture of the church, that we are going to be caught up together with the Lord, and so shall we forever be with Him. This is the hope of Christianity. This is why it's called the hope. And verse 11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And so the Apostle Paul, he knows the Thessalonians, that they have a strong front of their faith and their work of faith, labor of love and patience of hope earlier in one of the Thessalonian books. And he says, I know you're doing this, but I want you to do more of it. So I know that we're encouraging each other, but could we do more of it? Have we ever had a time where we could send out some kind of communique almost as easy as taking our next breath? You know, look around the room. There's people that are not here today that really are going through it. Jean Trousseau, 91 now, right? 92. 90, 91 or 92 going on 60. That woman is amazing, but she got hit 2 weeks ago with shingles. So bad. Pain. You know, I guarantee you, you want to see a 91-year-old lady cry? Right now, if we took 1 minute, those of you that have her phone number, send her a text, say, we love you. Or just say, send it from yourself, I love you. I'm praying for you. I know you're not here today. She'll cry if on every one of those texts that she gets, she'll cry over again. She'll start crying again. So we could do that. You know. I mean, some of us are checking football scores right now. We could actually text. No one's doing that. Now, the Saints aren't playing today. Anyway, they have a bye. So no one's checking their phones. Okay. Guys, I wanted to get to Luke. Go to Luke real quick. And I'm going to read this in The Voice. It's a new translation over the last couple of years by Thomas Nelson Publishers. Great. I love the translation. Okay. And I just want to read this, starting in verse 32, or go back to let me just end this by reading quite a bit out of this chapter, starting in verse 31 of Luke 12. Luke 12. And so Jesus is speaking in this chapter about not getting weighed down with things and having all this anxiety fill your mind. And he says that we don't need to worry. So starting in verse 31, he says, since you don't need to worry about security and safety and food and clothing, let's just lift our hands right there and say, Father, I'm not going to worry about security and safety, food and clothing. Then pursue God's kingdom first and foremost. Make that your prayer right now, that you are going to pursue God's kingdom first and foremost. And these other things will come to you as well. My little flock, don't be afraid. God is your Father, and your Father's great joy is to give you His kingdom. Do we receive that today? I'm receiving the kingdom of God today in my life. Do you want to receive it with me? Let's receive the kingdom of God right now, of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 33, that means you can sell your possessions and give generously to the poor or go to Thailand. You can have a different kind of savings plan, one that never depreciates. Well, that's a pretty good one. One that never defaults. One that can't be plundered by crooks or destroyed by natural calamities. Your treasure will be stored in the heavens. And since your treasure is there, your heart will be lodged there as well. I'm not just talking theory. There is an urgency in all this. Now, these are the words of Jesus. He's speaking. Head of the church. Are we listening now to the head of the church? If you're apathetic and complacent, then you'll miss the moment of opportunity. See, time and chance comes to every man. How much more to all the church right now? There's such an opportunity. You should be wide awake and on your toes, like servants who are waiting for their master to return from a big wedding reception. They'll have their shoes on and their lamps lit so they can open the door for him as soon as he arrives home, or immediately. Everybody say immediately. We've all had knocks at our door, and we weren't ready to open the door, am I right? We just weren't ready. And what did you say to the person at the door? Well, some of you said, give me a minute. And if you're like me, I got on my fours and crawled so they couldn't see me. And I never opened the door. None of you ever did that? Am I the only one that ever did that? I guess I'm the only one honest today. Come on, you guys. That's not lying. That's me choosing my prerogative not to open the door. And I didn't want the other person to feel bad that I just decided not to open the door. Well, you don't have to open the door if somebody knocks on the door. He says, yes, we do. How fortunate those servants will be when the master knocks and they open the door immediately. Because you're ready. You can do this. You can open the door because you're ready. You know what the master will do. He'll put on an apron, sit them down at the kitchen table, and he'll serve them a midnight snack. Then later, the later he comes home, whether it's at midnight or even later, just before dawn even, the more fortunate the alert servant will be. In contrast, imagine a complacent, apathetic household manager whose house gets robbed. If he'd been aware that the thieves were waiting in the bushes at what hour they were coming, he would have watched. And he never would have left the house. I'm trying to tell you that these are times for alertness. Now, who's speaking? Jesus. So Jesus Christ is speaking to you and I today. And he's saying, I'm trying to tell you this. Now, when he told the apostles so many very important things, what did they do? Well, I don't understand. By the way, who did understand? The only person who did. Mary Magdalene. Magdalene represents a worshiping church. You know how you can never fall asleep? Make sure you're always worshiping. Make sure that you're always loving. Make sure that you're the reality of his death you don't yawn at. That it overwhelms you still. And then on those days when there is callousness, you cry out and say, my heart's callous, Lord. I feel indifferent to the lost. I'm not moved about the condition of the lost. And I worship you. Worshippers are soul winners. I'm trying to tell you that these are times for alertness. Times requiring a sense of urgency and intensity. Stand on your feet. Amy, this is a time of alertness. A time requiring us to have a sense of urgency and intensity. Because like the master in the first story or the thief in the second, the Son of Man shows up by surprise. The Son of Man shows up by surprise. I'm going to close with Revelation 16:15. Jesus speaking, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on. The next translation talks about being awake and ready. The next, God's word says, blessed is the one who remains alert and doesn't lose his clothing. I like the Modern Living Bible, Berkeley. It says, see, I come like a thief. Blessed is the alert one who takes care of his clothing. Moffat says, the one who holds his raiment, his clothing fast and tight, who stays alert and does not lose his clothing. Takes care of his clothes. What are our clothes? You know, it would be. I think our clothes is our practical righteousness, not just our legal righteousness. It's our holiness. It's our sanctification. It's whether or not, you know. I mean, honestly, if the Lord came for an inspection of our life right now, what's he going to find? And so, the grace of God is so perfecting the bride right now. That if we just give a little bit of effort toward God, I think the grace will come match us. And so let this be an encouraging word for you today. Just to ask the Lord, I want to be awake. I want to be alert. I want to be watching. I want to be ready. And I want to be occupying. I want to be awake. I want to be alert. I want to be watching. I want to be ready. And I want to be occupying. Five things. I want to be awake spiritually. I want to be alert. I want to know what's going on. I want to be able to hear your voice. I want to watch and make sure that my heart's not going to grow cold. And I'm watching for you to see what opportunities you're giving me. And I'm going to occupy. I'm not going to be part of an end time church sitting on my hands. I'm going to go get the land. Judges 18:3. How long will you be slack to go up and possess your land? And then the final word, I think, is I just said, is occupy. Occupy is a good word today. Join hands across this auditorium. Hey, guys, while you're holding hands, just squeeze that hand and say, I'm so glad we're together in this hour. Isn't it great? We get to be together. Running this race together, encourage. We get to co-labor together. Rocco and Mary, your faces are so beautiful today. So beautiful today. Dwayne and Amy, love you guys so much. Thank you for running the race. Thank you all these years, over 20 years running with us. I could say that about everybody in the room today, and I do love you all, and I'm so thankful to be running the race with you. Ames, thanks for putting up with me and running with me. Jerry and Wilma, all these years, running the race together. Best days ahead. Best days ahead. Father, bless this church today, your people. Lord, may we be a church ready. May we be our swords sharp. May we take care of our spiritual clothes and that they would not be crumpled up in a corner or that all wrinkled. Lord, may we be at the muster gate. At the muster gate in uniform. Pressed, sharp, creases right where they need to be. We're ready, guys, for inspection. When the Lord shows up and He inspects, He's not going to have to rebuke. I'm telling you, our best days are ahead. God is doing something new. So at the river, something new is coming. Soon, we'll be having church outside. Most Sundays will be outside. What a joy that's going to be. It's going to be in a beautiful, beautiful venue. It's going to blow you away when you're in that venue. But if we don't have a heart to match the beauty of that out there, then we could still be, you know, we got to be full. We got to be full. No matter what we do with a building or a structure, we're the temple. So Lord, right now, any cobwebs, get them out right now. Any remorse, get rid of it. Any regret that's causing your faith to be weak, get rid of it. Right now, any sin, let it go. Throw it down. Take a dagger and stab it. The Lord is coming. Maranatha. The Lord is going to be here soon. And the Son of Man, it says, will show up by surprise. You don't know that very moment you fell asleep last night, and you don't know that very moment when the Lord's going to come. May He find us ready. May He find us alert, awake, watching, and both hands on the plow. Not looking back, but we've got a bend in our back leaning forward. Straining every nerve for what lies ahead. Onto the high call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.